This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you chose to join us this week. We know you have options when it comes to listening to things, and we're glad you chose Christ Together Radio. You can join us every week, Saturday at 9 a.m., Sundays at noon, right here on WDCX. Also, check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy hosting every week here on Christ Together Radio as we bring you what the gospel is doing, what God is doing through the gospel throughout Western New York. And Ryan, as we were talking earlier, that comes in three different buckets, and maybe we need to remind. It's been a while since we reminded.
No, it's always good to touch base on this every couple of weeks. But yeah, I mean, Christ Together Radio, kind of the genesis of it was really you coming to me and just going, man, there's just so much going on. We really got to start documenting this stuff, getting it on the airwaves. And, you know, there's a little pause or a little concern, like, I don't know. That's a lot of, I mean, that's a big commitment. But what we've come to find out is, yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on. God's doing a bunch of stuff. And so the goal of Christ Together Radio is we want to put on display the fact that what you just said, God is moving, and very Blackaby-like. Well, you don't need to conjure up God's movement. God is moving, so you find out where he's moving, and you join him in that movement. And within the region of Western New York, there's a gathering of churches, and it's not the exhaustive list of all churches of Western New York, but there's a group of us that really desire regularly and repeatedly to see that every man, woman, and child has opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. And we've kind of found, as the show has kind of taken on its own life, that really there's three categories we end up spending a lot of time on. One is church partnership, churches working together with other churches, churches working with ministries, ministries working with churches. The second bucket is church planting. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more today. And then the last one is people mobilization, actually just the ability to take everyday followers of Jesus and help them understand you can live on mission today. And that's one of the hardest things to convince people of, and yet it's one of the most exciting stories to tell is when people really begin to do that.
Yeah, and hopefully as they listen to those that we've had on over the last, I don't know, what, year and a half or 2 years or whatever, as they listen to people who have dropped everything to follow after Christ and after God's call to do just that, is to be mobilized for the gospel, hopefully that encourages you who are listening to do the same. And today we are bringing someone into the studio who's kind of done just that, and really, you'll think he's crazy when you hear what he did. I do. I kind of am like, oh, okay, really? Wow, that must have been a real true call, because to leave where you were at, Art, is a big deal. So Pastor Art Hall joining us in studio today, and we're just glad to hear his story. We're going to break that down in a few minutes for you. But Art, welcome to Christ Together Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so you're a homegrown boy.
I'm a homeboy. I'm a homeboy. That's what we call it.
Grown up, right? Actually, a few miles from where we are right now, right?
Right. I grew up. Grew up right on Box and Kerr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on Box and Kerr.
That's, if people aren't familiar, that's right toward the eastern side of the city of Buffalo,
and heart of the east side.
The heart of the east. That's the heart of the east side.
That's the Humboldt Park, MLK Park neighborhood, Maston District.
Yeah. So, and then as life would take you to different things, ended up somewhere else in the South. We won't give it up yet. We have to tease people a little bit. We won't give that up yet.
Yeah.
But and then recently, a couple of years ago, coming back to Buffalo. A
couple of years ago, transitioning back to Buffalo, and had an opportunity to get a job in my career field, urban and regional planning, you know, we'll talk about. And really looking at a vision that the Lord had given me years ago, back 2003-2004, about a church, and then just really began to move toward that. So this has been a journey. It's been just that, to where I've been and back. You know, we'll keep the suspense. Where I've been and back. So you know, being here, being a part, being back in the city again, so many wonderful things that have transpired and been going on. From revitalization, Buffalo is on a resurgence, and in so many different ways, not just with development, but also with people. There's a renewed hope, and And you have a lot of that going on. So it's more than one way, not just as a pastor, but as a planner. You see it on both ends, you know. And the wonderful thing is, you know, for so long I've been doing both. Now both have kind of consummated, you know, and become one, you know.
That's super cool to just be a part of, just a small part of this story is seeing how co-vocational life, basically working full-time and ministering almost full-time. But in everywhere that Art goes, you know, there's just this unbelievable opportunity that he has to really be the hands and feet of Jesus. And there's some very tangible examples of what that looks like. And we're going to get into that today, so looking forward to it.
I am too. You're going to like Art's story, and I'm actually looking for I've heard a little bit about it, but I'm looking forward to digging deeper into it myself because it's encouraging, and it's interesting. And hopefully as you listen to Christ Together Radio, again, as you hear the stories of how God does move, and it really is, we talk about Blackaby all the time. It's Blackaby-esque, how God is moving in certain areas, and he draws his people to work within where he's moving, and it's a God-led thing, and you're going to get that today as we talk to Art Hall. So Pastor Art Hall joining us today in Christ Together Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Again, we're so happy you joined us today. Pastor Art Hall in studio as Ryan Cozy and myself, Brett Larson, co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio. We're glad you've joined us. If you want to find out more about Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, and then scroll down to Christ Together Radio. You can find out more about Ryan and myself and also just about the program and what our goals and mission are. Well, you heard from Art Hall in our first segment. And if you're just joining us, Pastor Art Hall, a pastor on the east side of the Journey Church, joining us in studio today. We're going to hear his story. We're going to kind of just hopefully reveal what God has been doing in his life from a young child until now coming back to Buffalo. And so, Ryan, I think we're just going to start with Art telling a story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that our listening audience, they want to get to know who you are. So. Yeah. You know, Art, I know you're Buffalo born and Buffalo bred.
Yeah.
You've come back.
Yeah.
But, you know, tell us a little bit about just growing up in Buffalo. What did that look like? What was your experience with the church?
Yeah.
And how did it shape you?
Yeah. You know, there's a video that I watch and I show my parents and some of the others where it talks about, thank God we made it. And it talks about how growing up in, you know, if you grew up in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even early 90s, you know, you had an awesome childhood. That was me. That was me. You know, we played outside all the time. So Boxenker, there's a history of Boxenker that is amazing. I grew up in a very fun neighborhood. Mm. It was tons of us out there, man. It was kids. A typical day was nothing less than street football, Tecmo Bowl, you know. and we had fun outside. And, you know, that was 80s, 90s. Yeah. Box Street was a family street, you know, and it was kind of several streets clumped. You had Urban, French, Box, Glenwood, Winslow, Woodlawn, you know, all the way to Ferry, kind of where that, you know, True Bethel area is. And, you know, we'd play each other in different streets and things of that sort, you know, all day, all night, you know, having so much fun. In the early 90s, it took kind of a turn. When I began high school, Box Street became a place where we all knew each other, you know, but you had a sense of a violent streak. You know, there was an individual who lived in the neighborhood. He lived on French Street, actually, who had ended up getting killed. And such an influence in the entire neighborhood, you know, just such a jewel, such a talent. But I remember distinctly that, you know, being... you know, something that kind of changed the fabric of the entire neighborhood.
Yeah. That was like that was the turning point.
It was a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, we all went to school together.
Where'd you go to high school, Art?
I went to McKinley High School.
Okay.
Best high school in the city of Buffalo. Ooh, thank you very much.
There you go.
Two-time champion back in the 90s when I went to school for the Harvard Cup. I had to throw that in there. So, but we all grew up at, we went to 59 Science Magnet.
Yeah.
You know, that was our neighborhood school. So we grew up together. We went to school together. We ate together. We slept over each other's houses. We all knew each other. So when the neighborhood took the turn, we still knew each other. We just did different things, you know, and it became very, very violent. It was a tough neighborhood.
You mean people took different paths? You all knew each other because you grew up together, but
we grew up together, you know, but you know, we, something as simple as we went off to different high schools,
gotcha.
We made different choices, you know,
and, gotcha.
But we never, out of all of what, changes we've experienced, we never lost the bond of being together.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
we always knew, hey, listen, this is my boy. You know, this is my dog. You know, we always gonna be tight. You're doing what you're doing. We're doing what we're doing, but we always gonna be tight, regardless of even if we have differences. We're gonna be tight. You know, we just grew up that way. Our parents knew each other. It was a community.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, so in the early '90s, it was a box street. And that neighborhood became a tough place to live. It was a very violent place. You had people who I've known as friends die, you know, shootings upon shootings. I think in the summer of 1992, I distinctly remember there were more homicides on the east side of Buffalo, particularly our radius, in a summer than there were in the city of Atlanta for the year. You know,
that's crazy, man.
And you know, you grew up seeing this. My dad worked at the bakery and retired for some 30 plus years, 33 years, somewhere around there, right over on Fugeron. And it'd be times, you know, he used to work the second shift, you know, from 1 to 11 for years. And it'd be times where, you know, now it's just like, you know, is he gonna come home? You know, are we gonna get a phone call that, you know, he's found somewhere over on Fugeron. Now, my dad knew everybody in the neighborhood, you know, and they called him Hall, you know. You know, I have a nickname. I'm reluctant to say it, but anyways.
Now we have to hear it.
I knew that was going to happen.
You can't reveal that.
We're live.
I may reveal it later. But, you know, so, you know, they knew me. They knew my dad. My dad was the kind of guy where if we're having a water fight out in the street, you don't get Hall wet, you know. And if it got too crazy, he used to walk to the store with his dog and a stick, you know. It wasn't going to happen. So they knew my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been so many innocent bystanders. Mm-hmm. There's been so many people who just dropped and, you know, you're driving and all of a sudden you see somebody you think they're, you know, they're homeless or asleep or anything, and it ended up being a corpse.
Yeah.
You know, that was the kind of neighborhood.
Wow.
You know, that, ended up becoming. White's Lounge on the corner of Box and Kerr. A lot of activity. So when you grow up, you know, with this as a teenager, all of this is around you. It at times was frightening. At times was scary. You know, and plenty of days I had a cold because I was standing on the corner in the middle of winter waiting on the bus with nothing on my head, so I wouldn't be mistaken for someone.
Right, colors and
You know, it was very territorial and things. At the same time, you know, brothers who were there, we knew each other. You know, we went to 59. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was, you know, the picture, kind of the climate, you know, as a teenager growing up. But nevertheless, it was still fun. I still had a lot of friends. It was just an awesome neighborhood to be in, you know, being at McKinley High School was an awesome experience because now we had some people from the hood, but also other neighborhoods. So that was my first real opportunity of diversity.
Right.
Kinley was one of the most diverse schools, I'd say, in the city. I've visited some other schools, but it was very diverse, and we had an opportunity to really connect with other people from other neighborhoods And you go in McKinley and you walk and hey, where are you from? Yeah, I'm from the West Side, you know, Connecticut. It's like, oh, nice. You know, where are you from? I'm from Box Street, Box and Kerr. Ooh. I'm not coming
to
visit
you.
Are
you a student here?
Yeah. You can come to my house.
I'm not coming to visit you, you know. And, yeah, you call and order a pizza, you know. Okay, address, Box and Kerr. We don't deliver over there.
Oh, you know? Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was tough, man. And so that was the stigma, you know, for a long time that we grew up over there. Even now, if you ask anybody, hey, you know, where are you from? Box and Kerr. It's just like, okay, yeah, it's quiet over there now.
It's changed quite a bit. It's quiet over there now.
It is quieter.
Yeah. Because if you grew up in the inner city, you have a history of understanding what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're, oh, it's quiet now. You know, other people who are there that no longer live there, people there are older now.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I had a question quick. Brett, how much time we got left for this segment?
About 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. You know, I remember there's a gentleman in very popular now with Christianity Today, Ed Stetzer, Dr. Ed Stetzer. Mm. I don't know if you know Ed. But, you know, he actually planted, I think, 2 churches in Buffalo during the late 80s into the mid-90s. Mm. White guy. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, he's said this before, that you know, he was doing it when it wasn't popular to plant churches. You know, like this kind of a, at least in the Anglo-evangelical world, like the last 10, 12 years, it's been like this. It's become this multi-million dollar industry, church planting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he described the influence of the crack epidemic in Buffalo during the late 80s and the early 90s. Was that something that was infecting your neighborhood as well, or no?
You know, drugs infected a lot of neighborhoods. Yeah. And I think it was that, along with you had your usual gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know the names of them or things. But,
and
it became very territorial.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a bad territorial thing. It was, you know, it was, hey, you know, this is our neighborhood. This is where we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where we grew up. This is where it was protective.
Right. Don't threaten this.
Don't come here. You know,
mm-hmm.
And to a degree, you kind of see it a little bit still.
Yeah.
You know, in some of the other parts, but that was a lot of neighborhoods, mm-hmm. both, you know, inner city and even some parts of the suburbs.
Yeah.
You just had it, you mm-hmm. know. So there were a lot of influences.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that we did most, and I don't know, we'll talk about this segment, maybe next segment, is how I got involved as a senior in high school and also as an urban planner.
Yeah,
you know, when I started doing the grassroots,
yeah.
when I graduated, and I think I was telling you, I played football, mm-hmm. you know, through McKinley. I ran track, and got to a point where, you know, we looked and I was recruited to a small D2 college in Pennsylvania. You know, I stayed there for about a year and then came back, and that's when I really got involved in, you know. In the community.
Yeah,
so,
community.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Ryan. I think I'm really glad we're opening up about what it was like for you growing up.
Yeah.
And to me, it's fascinating, not in a sensational way, but more in like a true somber way. Like,
yeah.
This is real.
Yeah.
This isn't a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of happening, and it still happens today. It's difficult, and I love Art's story because we can see how God's sovereign hand reaches down and directs a path. To me, I think it's going to be interesting to continue on with our discussion here in a couple more minutes about where from there. Now, you played football at McKinley.
I played football.
Running back, I'm assuming?
I played running back.
Because the track thing.
Yeah. We ran track, played running back, you know, so, and that was an experience too. You know, everything you did, it was a life lesson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what really kept a lot of my ethical values and things is, you know, not only watching my mom and my parents, but the church I went to. I grew up at the Friendship Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
402 Clinton Street, Hickory and Clinton, you know. I came up under A.C. Ware, and he was a preacher's preacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a pastor's pastor. And a lot of what I learned going to Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
you know, years and years, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand Sunday school. I played Little League football.
Yeah.
I played Little League football, and I played for the JFK Invaders at the time, mm-hmm. right over there in JFK Park. And my mom would teach Bible study on Tuesday nights at Friendship, which is right across the street. Mm-hmm. She would have teachers meeting on Wednesday night. She would have another meeting on Thursday night. And I could not stand it. Mm-hmm. I would go to practice, and after practice, I would do my best to try to find a friend who could give me a ride home because I just didn't want to go to
sit
go
at church
to
for a couple
church.
Hours. Yeah,
I didn't want to do it.
Well, that's something interesting too. We can break yeah. down here. We got to go to a break here in just a minute.
Sure.
But afterwards, I think that's an important piece of the equation of those of us, I'm included, who grew up kind of, maybe it was just Baptists were that way, I don't know, but grew up in that Baptist environment back in that, I'm a little bit older than you, but not much, but mm-hmm. We were at church like 5-6 yeah, days a yeah. week yeah, for day. Hours and hours. And
that's definitely a Baptist thing.
Yeah, totally a Baptist thing. And it's like, man, it's like your whole life was there. But in some ways, I saw that really hurt people. Yeah. In other ways, I saw that people really get a sense for what ministry is.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it kind of gets ingrained in you at a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's interesting. I think we can talk about that in just a few minutes. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy every week here on Christ Together Radio. Our special guest today, Pastor Art Hall. Stay tuned. I think you're going to like hearing more of what Art has to say.
Some say Ryan Cozy has a face for radio. Others say he's the lead candidate for Mr. January in the Christ Together Network Pastor's Calendar. I'm so confused.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. Every week, we're here at 9 a.m. on Saturdays and noon on Sundays. And so tune us in. And
double the fun.
Double the fun. That's our new, Ryan just magically came up with our new slogan, double the fun. Because there's two of us, we have two releases per weekend. I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever. Pastor Art Hall joining us in studio today.
Yes.
And if you missed the first segment, then I encourage you to go back to WDCXradio.com and click on Programs of Christ Together Radio and check out that first segment. It's pretty interesting stuff and fascinating, really, to hear Art's upbringing. And it's funny, sometimes when we do this show, things get mentioned that kind of spark a new direction. And I think it's worth going over that, you know, Pastor Art, you're talking about growing up in the Baptist church in Buffalo mm-hmm. and just being there all the time in Sunday school and how formative that was and who you are today in different areas. And Ryan, you know, church is different today. You see it.
Oh, gosh.
You know, you're dealing with so many different churches, so many different cultures. Church has changed for better or for worse. I don't know, but it's changed.
Yeah. You know, it really has. And I can say that for just the context of where I find myself today. But one of the things I'm really appreciating is as God has allowed us to build relationships across demographic, socioeconomic, racial, ethnic lines, I'm beginning to, as an observer, just appreciate the history of how those differences manifest themselves in other churches as well. And so, you know, just as Art was talking during the break, I'm like, man, that's kind of interesting. And it's very interesting for me as someone who spent most of my childhood hopping between Roman Catholic, Orthodox Catholic because of my dad, and then my mom was full-blown Pentecostal. So that was a very interesting experience for me. But I didn't have this Baptist experience that you speak of, you know, but definitely appreciative of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Art, much like you, I mean, I was at church this time of year, it was, you know, probably 2-3 nights a week and then all day Saturday for like 2 months straight. I mean, we were just there. Here's the cool thing though. Like you said, you're like, oh, I don't want to go back to church. On the other hand, talk about community.
Yeah,
my whole, I mean, we talked about our friend Tom Hill.
Yeah,
Tom and I have been friends since 3 years old. We literally spent probably thousands of hours running around church causing havoc.
Yeah.
You know, and you grow, like I still, some of my deepest, closest, lifelong friends are the guys who I spent all that time at church with.
Yeah.
And guys,
but we didn't go to church together.
No,
you're
my deepest.
You're an acquaintance?
But
is that
true.
What's going on
But it's
here?
True, and right. that's where you there's a community aspect that we try to recreate. We talk about community in church and and how community really, that's the whole idea of church, right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to reform that in different ways, but in some ways serving together creates such a bond that people don't get. And that's kind of what you were saying, right, Art?
You know, this started, God is sovereign.
Amen.
Amen.
He has a purpose for everything.
I think Pastor Art's going to preach.
And I look at, I'm not going to do it. You know, but, I look at all of my dealings in church. And it was not only just church on Sundays, church on Tuesdays, church on Wednesdays. God forbid there was a special meeting on Thursdays. But then being a part of the Empire State Baptist, you know, and the National Baptist Convention, you had the local Congress, you had the state convention Congress, you had the national convention. And my mom attended all of these. She's a teacher in the Congress.
Wow.
So she drugged me with her, you know. We used to make fun. It's an old joke. It's an old, you know, we used to make fun. I was on a drug program growing up. I was drugged to Sunday school, drugged Sunday service, drugged, you know. I really was on a drug program. I sought rehab. So I'm thinking, it's just like, man, when is this ever going to end, you know? But little did I know, later on sometime, and I'll come back to this, you know, I was talking with somebody and witnessing the gospel, and I may have been in high school, and they gave me a compliment. They said, wow, you know how you learn all this stuff? And I'm thinking about it. I had to think about it, and I said, you know what? Sunday school.
Yeah. Mm.
And my mom was a Sunday school teacher. She was the Bible study teacher. So sometimes we'd go to church and we'd be there before the janitor. You know, we'd be there and we'd sit in the car, he'd open, and then we'd go in. And I had to go to Sunday school class, and we had our Sunday school books. And every single Sunday, it was the lesson. Now, my grandmother played an interesting part. She was, she was very involved in the church. And when she got to a point where she couldn't read, her eyes, went bad. She would make me sit at the foot of her bed on Saturday night and read the Sunday school lesson to her. And then she would ask me questions, you know, what did John the Baptist mean when he said that? What was Jesus' parable? Read that to me again, you know.
Wow.
And so I would read it. I couldn't stand that either, you know. And I would just read, and I would read. And short excerpt, you know, come back.
Yeah.
When my grandma was passing, she was in Buffalo General. She passed in 2002. She couldn't respond. She couldn't, say anything. The only way she could respond is if, if you hear me, blink your eyes, and she'd do one of those.
Mm.
I sat at the foot of her bed.
Mm.
I got an old Sunday school book, and I read the Sunday school lesson to her, as we used to do. So anyway, so that's where a lot of my foundation was, heavily Orthodox Christian foundation, Sunday school, Bible study, Sunday morning, just, doctrinated and stuff. And I think I don't know if you hear the term Sunday school anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have small groups in Florida.
It sound cooler.
And in the place where I came from, we had life groups. We called them life groups.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And same concept, a little different. We'll roll out some of the same things, at the Journey. But so anyway, that's where it's from. And then transitioning and all of that, my faith upbringing, I got involved in this program. It was a program. It's actually a federal strategy. It was called Weed and Seed. Started in the late 90s. And my neighbor next door, we looked and he said, hey, listen, crime is so bad. We got to try to do something. We have to try to make a difference and do something. And I said, well, good. Good luck to you guys. I'm going to go back to class. And so he told me, he's like, hey, it's this initiative starting. You're in school for urban planning. I think it's right up your alley. I said, okay. I said, I'll go. So I went. we had it right here at the U.S. Attorney's Office on Delaware Avenue. And it was Weed and Seed. And that's where I met a good friend of mine, mentor at the time, Oswaldo, Mestria works at the city. He was over the program, Antoine Diggs, Rasheen Powell, who's actually one of my board members here at the church, one of the executive members. And so this was a federal initiative to weed out crime and plant seeds of prosperity in high crime infested neighborhoods. So it was, city, state, federal, county law enforcement at the same table on the other side, where you had neighborhood residents, Aunt May, Jimmy, John, you know, everyone from, you know, the community. And so, you know, this guy from D.C., Steve Gaudet, he came, did the strategic planning process, and they were like, you know, well, you know, this is how law enforcement should be, and law enforcement, well, you have to understand this is how law enforcement works. And then they got to the community development part, and they said, hey, there's a 20-year-old kid over there that goes to UB. He knows something about community development. Why don't he come on up and get up there on the board? And that's how I got involved. And then ever since then, I've been a part of this grassroots initiative to make the community better, has such a passion for it. You know, we went to had our first block club meeting, and to see my mom and my dad, you know, mom was very vocal, you know, and she was, you know, and dad, they elected him to be the sergeant of arms because, you know.
It's all.
That's all.
It's all. He had a dog and a stick. Don't get out of line.
The stick, you know. And but just to see, you know, this passion to take the community back, and I was sold, man. I was sold. I said, listen, you know, we need to do whatever we need to do, and I was trying to work with the youth and things. So that's how I got connected with so many different people. Mm-hmm. So I'm from the grassroots to the government, I was connected. Even where I got a job when I was an undergrad, the U.S. attorney at the time, Denise O'Donnell, you know, after a block club meeting, she came, she said, you're a college student? I said, yeah. Would you like to work for the U.S. Attorney's Office? I said, what? Absolutely. You know, and so then I was connected there. You know, I worked there for 2 years before grad school. So that's where I've learned everybody.
Yeah.
And I've learned by being out there, you know, cleaning up neighborhoods, pulling tires, you know, out of vacant houses, you know, boarding up houses, you know, just whatever needed to be done, organizing community groups and block clubs and block club coalitions, you know, getting your hands dirty, tilling the ground. Yeah. You know, you got to plant the seeds, you got to till the ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be the sower sowing the seed, and it can scatter. But you have to make sure that at some point, if you're going to build the relationships you need to build, if you're going to get to know people you're going to get to know, you have to till the ground. You got to do some things that's going to cause you to cultivate.
It's interesting. Know? It sounds to me like you didn't get away with a lot with your mom.
No, man.
She sounds like she was tough.
Man, you know, mom was tough, but I thank her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I thank my mom so
for
much.
Sure.
Yeah, she was
that's relentless. Special. That's special.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Mom and grandma, you know, and then my dad. Yeah. Pop taught me. And that's Pop, you know. Pop taught me the guy thing.
So you're at UB and you get a degree in urban renewal,
urban and regional planning.
Urban regional planning.
So I got involved in that because I wasn't too good. Now here's a sidebar. My first major was computer engineering, and
you're
I got in that.
You're
because,
one of those smart guys.
No, I wasn't smart. I tried to be.
Those math.
I thought. I said, hey, you know, what's going to be the thing of the future. Let's get involved with that.
Yeah.
I found out I wasn't too good at that. So, you know, when I got my grades back, I said, man, you know, I got to do something.
Try something different. Try something different.
I got to try something different. And it got so bad, I just went into prayer. And then God revealed to me, I was looking at the catalog, said environmental design. So I called up this lady who was one of the professors, environmental design, Cherie Wallace at the time. You know, I sat and I talked with her, and she was really working with me. Yeah, you know, we'll change a major. We'll do this. That's easy. I got that done. And here's the classes you're going to take. And she said, you know, I'll be a good resource for you, but I think somebody would be a better resource for you. I want you to meet him. And she walked me down the hall and introduced me to Dr. Henry Taylor. And Dr. Henry Taylor has been a planning mentor, my professor and advisor for a long time. Even now, coming back, we reconnected and we still do some things. We're doing a research project now. Mm-hmm. And that was my undergrad. And for grad school, Dr. Taylor and a couple of others at the time were city officials, put me into his office at the campus. He said, hey, what are you doing for grad school? I said, I don't know. I'm going to take a year off and then maybe look at some other schools, try to get out of Buffalo, you know, get a different experience. And he said, wrong. You're staying here. Yeah, well, literally.
Okay. Did he have a stick as well? I see a pattern.
You know, Doc carries Doc carries all kinds of sticks, man. You know, he's going to get it done. And so I don't remember who. I think I know who the professor is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask if they did this, but I didn't know. But somebody put my information in and nominated me for all of the work that I've done with Weed and Seed. They nominated me for the HUD Housing Community Development Fellowship. It's a grad school fellowship. Mm-hmm. It was only awarded to a handful of students throughout the nation. And I got it. Wow. And Dr. Taylor, he told me, he's like, "Wrong, you're staying here. Congratulations, you got the HUD Fellowship."
Wow.
Full tuition paid, expenses.
Nice.
Study abroad, you know. And I said, "Okay, well, I guess I got to stay." You know, that answers that, yeah. You know. So that was a blessing. And I did my grad studies here. And that's when we dove deeper into identifying some of the things in the neighborhoods. And the thing with Dr. Tenry Taylor was, with the Center for Urban Studies, is learning how urban neighborhoods became the way they are. There were several lectures that he used to do, a class that I took, and a class that, you know, he used to ask to lecture, and he wasn't able to make it, and asked me to go in instead, which was race, class, gender, and the city.
Ooh, I want to get back to that. Okay, we got to take a quick break. We're going to leave everybody hanging right there. I'm enjoying hearing from Art Hall. Hopefully you are too. So if you are, stay with us here on Christ Together Radio.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Remember when R2-D2 had a special message for Obi-Wan? Well, the gospel is kind of like that, but it's not a secret, and it's from God, and it's life-changing, and, well, okay, so it's nothing like that, but it's really awesome, and God is doing great things in Western New York. Here's Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, Pastor Art Hall. Joining us in studio today, he's the pastor of the Journey Church right here in Buffalo on Bailey Avenue, 2825 Bailey Avenue.
2025.
Yeah. Bailey Avenue. Right here in Buffalo, and kind of a local guy that is, hopefully you've heard his story. If not, check it out again on Christ Together's website on WDCXradio.com. But hopefully you, if you're listening, you've been encouraged and fascinated and just the unique journey that Art has taken and how God has shaped him uniquely for what he's called him to do here in Buffalo. Right from the time when he was a young child going to Sunday school 12 nights a week. Is that even possible? But yeah, right up to his formal education at UB and his master's degree, and just involved in the city and involved in just, sitting at the table at such a young age with influential people, and how that shaped who he is and been able, it gives him a platform coming back to really talk about church planting into the city. And Ryan, I think you said something interesting that I think people really need to understand, because a lot of people aren't involved in urban church plant who are listening. It's just not a pop, it's not an everyday thing.
Right.
But I think people need to understand that an urban church plant, a city church plant in a semi-difficult area is unique, and that it's a community thing. It's not, it's much different than a suburban church plant.
Yeah. So it's really interesting on a couple levels. One is like just the word church plant alone, that's right. Not a real popular word to use in the city, because
we talked about
that. It speaks
to colonialism.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and anytime, honestly, people, just speaking to the historical nature of our country, like when people that are white want to get involved in something, there's a concern, because it doesn't always work out for people that aren't white. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a reality.
Yes.
And so, some brothers that I love and really respect just talk about, we call it opening a new work. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, yeah, that's mm-hmm. good. But the thing in the break, like we were talking about, was we've been, and we love this. So for our church planning brothers who have already been in this seat, we love that they're planting churches, but a lot of times if they're planting them in a suburban area, the schools are pretty good, and the infrastructure of housing is pretty good, the job market's pretty good, transportation and logistics are pretty good. You're trying to do church better. You're trying to be more evangelistic, and when we're talking with Art, like these first two segments, we're talking about the holistic nature of community development, and why the church can play an instrumental, pivotal, central role.
Yeah.
But a lot of it really requires that we walk in relationship with brothers and sisters doing urban work, and just understanding that they know what they're doing, and we got to take our cues from them. So if we want to partner with them, we got to trust that they know what's best for the community, and we walk alongside of them in relationship. Yeah. So our posture is one where we're not saying that we know. And we're also in relationship. And I think that those are two huge things. And I love the aspect that we're talking about community development, because I think what it's doing is it's educating the whole audience that represents the Church of Western New York to understand that depending on the context, opening a new work mm-hmm. or planting a church, it looks very different. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like art is just he's an exhibit A for us of how we can learn from that. So love it, love yeah. it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. This is fun, and this has always been something that we've done as educating individuals, whether it be inner city, suburban, about how cities work. So I want to go back to Dr. Henry Taylor, mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about my experience as a grad student. So it was at the time, it was a study that he was doing in conjunction with another professor, I think Sam Cole, which was the tipping point theory. In essence, City of Buffalo, if you know the history, 50s and 60s, you had this booming city. Mm-hmm. You had, neighborhoods. Frederick Law Olmsted, his park and parkway system was originally mm-hmm. developed, by Joseph Ellicott, who was the brother of Andrew Ellicott, that on Pierre L'Enfant's team that developed Washington, D.C. If you look at Washington, you got the monumental type development. Mm-hmm. You look at the city of Buffalo, you have what we call radials, mm-hmm. That kind of like Niagara Square.
Yep.
And you have Frederick Law Olmsted come and he was invited to put a park in the city. Said that this was the best planned city in America and decided instead to put the city in a parkway system.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, parkways, and I don't know if you guys know the history, but, Humboldt Parkway from the Buffalo Science Museum all the way to Delaware Park, the Kensington Expressway, was all one parkway. It was like Chapin mm-hmm. Parkway, mm-hmm. And until the 50s, where, the city decided to run an expressway and tear the neighborhood apart. Starting this decline mm-hmm. within the urban neighborhood on the east side of Buffalo. So the theory that I came up under with Dr. Taylor is, how does cities go from being these wonderful neighborhoods to neighborhoods of decline? That's the turning point. Now, how do we get it? How do we get it back to what it used to be? What causes neighborhood transformation? Mm. And, you can come up with a plan, you can do studies, you can do feasibility studies, you can look at transportation infrastructure, you can look at all of these wonderful things, transportation concurrency, neighborhood sustainability, you can look at all of these things, but it all goes back to solving and dealing with the problem of race and inequality. Because there were just some decisions that were made, there were some policies that were instituted that caused the places to be where they were. All of a sudden, you don't have banks that lend in certain neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
That's very difficult. You have people who can get jobs that have a substantial income enough.
It begins to spiral.
Yeah. So many other things, begin to happen with that. And a lot of it is based on, we use the term and we talk about it, institutional racism.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much that has happened. So that has been at the heart of the response. How do we turn this thing around?
How much did, in your studies, I'm just curious, we probably don't have enough time to even get into this, but how much did the decline of manufacturing really, it seemed like it hurt urban, the community aspect everywhere.
Yeah.
And once that kind of hits, I could see in the urban setting especially, it really being a major issue.
Buffalo's a blue-collar town. Bethlehem Steel. You had these major factories that closed, and at some point we had to make the transition to the thing that was going to be the uprising. You had a lot of construction work. How many people that live within the inner city are able to get contracts?
Yeah.
For these, you have a building that's being rehabbed in the inner city, and when you look at those who working on the building that got the contract, they don't look like the people who live in the neighborhood where it's being done.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the things that, we look at and it's just like, you know. But at the same time, what I've witnessed personally, where my dad used to work, Wonder Bread, mm-hmm. is no longer there,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now my dad has been retired for some time, but, for other guys who, may have an opportunity to come and work in a factory or something like that, those jobs just aren't around. Right now we're, at the point where employment is an issue.
Employment is probably one of the major.
Major issue. So these are the things that you have to cope with, in lieu of, we use the term church planting.
Go back to your point earlier, it's cyclical because the way our world is shaped now with a technological society, and it's very technology and math and science is such a huge thing. And when education isn't meeting that, the employment solution can never get solved.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reality is, the Buffalo Public Schools as a whole, I mean, there's a systemic foundational challenge right in front of you.
Yeah.
How do you take urban children and give them the opportunity to have the education that other surrounding areas have?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mammoth challenge to enter into a dialogue on that. But we're here.
Yeah.
We're on Christian radio.
Yeah.
We're talking about this stuff because as citizens of another kingdom.
Yeah.
Like this is a great opportunity for us to be the hands and feet of the gospel, that salt and light, that Matthew 5 salt and light of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is hard. I mean, and there's times where you enter into dialogue about this and you just go, "Man, I don't know, my mind's going to short circuit."
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be intimidated by that. We got to enter into this dialogue.
Yeah.
And I feel, personally, as someone whose job it is to build relationships in the region, mm-hmm. I noticed 5 years ago a deep and wide gap between the relationships we were very easily able to build, suburban and rural. And I just looked at the city and go, "Lord, I don't have any relationships. I don't have, yes, I'm grateful that Breck Cockrell, I mean, I felt like God has used him." Mm-hmm. To open up a conversation that just really, in many ways, it didn't exist.
Yeah.
So I thank God that he brought Breck Cockrell into this conversation. And what that's been able to do, Breck and a number of people, has been able to help us understand if we're really about every man, woman, and child having repeated opportunities, that means every man, every woman, and every child. The 270,000 people that live in the city of Buffalo, the 30-plus thousand that live in Lockport, the 50-plus thousand that live in Niagara Falls, that's part of the every man, woman, and child. And it doesn't mean that we need to go start something new, like the suburban people just come in and do, but rather we need to build existing relationships and see what the Spirit of God is doing. And that takes time, but at the same time, thank you, God, for answering prayer. And that's, I mean, when I look across the table and I see you, Art, I don't want to put pressure on you, but the reality is, like, you are an answer to prayer.
Oh, amen.
That God brought a native son home that knows the city, that has a heart for the city,
amen.
That can navigate the suburban and the urban context. You navigate it incredibly well. This is an answer to prayer for the Church of Western New York. I truly believe that.
Amen. Huge. And Art, there's so much more to your story. So I think you're going to come back next week. And we're going to get more into
Hour two
of our story, because it takes him to a special place. And we'll just say Mickey Mouse likes to go there too.
Boy.
It takes him to a special place down in Orlando. We'll give it up. And just how God uniquely shaped you even there to come back to your roots and to where you grew up. And begin a new work, as we call it, in the city. And so there's so much more to learn. I'm fascinated by it.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, alongside Ryan Cozy here, as we join you every week. And just a reminder, we're Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDCX, and also at noon on Sundays on WDCX. You can check us out on WDCXradio.com. If you go to programs, go to Christ Together Radio. You can see Ryan's extensive bio there. And my short little bio, and then also
the two sentence bio of Ryan Cozy,
and his nice orange sweater, and also you can also check out past episodes of Christ Together Radio. I think Ryan mentioned earlier, there's like, I don't even know, 60 something.
I think we're getting there. We've been over a year and a half now.
Yeah, and there's and there's still so much to talk about, because God is doing so much, because He's a big God, and we want you to know about how He works in the world around us. So, Art, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate
this. Pastor Art's new work is called The Journey Church.
Yeah.
It's a Baptist-oriented church, part of the Baptist Convention of New York, and it's on Bailey Avenue, 2025 Bailey, right here in the city of Buffalo. And just so happy that Art has taken some time out of his day in much better dress than Ryan and I both put together. And we're just thankful for him today. So this is Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and our guest Art Hall. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.